you are perfect in all the ways. It's who you are perfect in all the ways. You are perfect in all the ways. It's who you are. It's who you are.
Stay tuned and focused and let Words of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Everybody look at verse number 39 of chapter number 4 of the Gospel according to St. John. When you have that, say, I have the word. I'm ready to receive it. Man, there's so much in this, I tell you. Help me, Holy Ghost. Verse 39 says, And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did. Verse 40, so when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Amen. May God a blessing those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. We'll use for a thought and a topic, title, or tag for this message this morning, because because of his word. Amen. Because of his word. Amen. This is written by the Apostle John, who was the last of the living disciples. John lived probably a little over 100 years old, and his message never changed. His message was always the message of love. John was the same John that stayed at the cross with Jesus. And he was the one that Jesus entrusted his mother to. He said, "Mother, here's your son. Son, here's your mother." Just believed because they wanted to know what was going to happen to John. And Peter asked, and Jesus said that, you know, "What is it to you if he stay here till I come again?" And it was believed that John would never die. Although he did die, he was the only one that was not martyred as the others. Amen? Amen. They tried to kill John, but they could not. They had him to be put in a pot of boiling oil, and it didn't do anything to him. When they couldn't kill him, they exiled him. They sent him to an isle called Patmos, and where while he was there, he was able to write what we now know as the revelation of Jesus Christ, according to John, the last book of the Bible. Amen. John was able to see and hear things that we are not allowed to see and hear, except we echo his words. Amen. Amen. But enough about John. The introduction of this is basically we are getting into a message of or a teaching worship. Amen. We have understood the word of God is foremost important in our lives, and that should be the first thing that we need in our life, that we should say that if nothing else I get in my life, I have to have the word. We ought to desire, the Bible say, the sincere milk of the word. Amen. And then we ought to grow by it, and then we begin to eat the meat of the word. Amen. And once we learn to eat the meat of the word, then there's what we call the mystery of the word. And you should desire to know the mysteries of the word. Amen. There's so much that we don't know about the word of God. Amen. Amen. You know how it is when you first, you know what's in milk. You know what milk is. And then once you start to eat meat, you can tell. I can tell when it's pork because I don't like the smell of that. It almost makes me sick. Amen. I can tell when it's beef or whatever it is. If it's something wild, I say, that's something wild there. That's not. So you ought to be able to know the meat of the word. Amen. Then there comes a time when you take the meat and all the stuff that you mix up and you put it in the pot, and there's a mystery of what it is. And we call that gumbo in Louisiana. There's a mystery of what all that stuff is, and you just try to guess what's all in the pot. Amen? And so that's how it is in our spiritual journey with God and knowing his word. We should desire it. Amen? Amen. And so here it is. Now we're in chapter number 4 of this of the gospel according to St. John. And this story here, it talks about how when Jesus left a certain place, he began to leave because he was baptizing more disciples than John. And the Pharisees, the religious folks, they got, you know, they had gotten some kind of way with Jesus and John. And he noticed that because folks had stopped following John, they were starting to follow him. He said, "Well, let me depart from this area so that John can keep his church going." Amen. Look how Jesus didn't get into competition with John. You know, he said, "I don't want my disciples and his disciples competing," because John knew, he said, "I must decrease that he might what? Increase." But even though John knew that, the people didn't understand it, and Jesus knew. And so Jesus said, "Let me just move on, because there's much more work to do than right here where I'm at." Amen. And so if we find out that as he left, he came, he said, the Bible says in verse number 4 that he must go through Samaria. Now, when you talk about must, the word must, it's a whole bunch of times you see the word must, and the word must has to do with destiny. It has to do with what God intended for them and what God had planned for them. And so when Jesus had, when it says that he must go through Samaria, it was God's divine plan for him to pass through a land that at some point, you'll find out here in the text, that the people didn't respect the Jews because the Jews didn't respect them. He had to go through an area where people didn't like his kind. Amen. You ever been through an area where people don't like your kind? Amen. Well, he says here, then it goes on. Let's go on. So I'll get to the meat of the matter. And it says that he come to the city of in Samaria called Sychar, which is near the parcel ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And when he got there, now this is the place. This is an ancient place. It is a place believed to be where God first appeared to Abraham in Canaan. It is the place where Jacob dwelled after he left Laban, his uncle's house, and was trying to get back to Canaan. It's the place where Joseph went to check on his brothers, and they grabbed him and nabbed him and put him in a pit. Amen. And sold him into slavery. It is the place where Joshua addressed the children of Israel for the last time. It is also the place of the land where Joseph's bones was. Amen. It's the area of Shechem. All right. And so it is an area where it says that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, we find that these Samaritans dwelled on the land. Now, what is a Samaritan? A Samaritan was when the Assyrians came in and they took over the land. They took people, original Jews that were in the land, out of the land, and they brought in people. They took many of them out and left some of the poor people there, and they brought in people from Assyria and other places and populated the land. And sooner or later, you know, nature took its course, and people start to intermingling, and they begin to intermarry, and they begin to mix up worship. And you know how sometimes you have some things that, you know, that you mix up because of the culture you're in. And so they mixed up worship, and they did a lot of different things. Now, we find out that that these Samaritans, that as they were there, the Jews, that when they were getting ready to build the wall, when Zerubbabel or when Nehemiah came to build the wall and to build the temple, the Samaritans offered to help, but they told them no because they were not purebred Jews. Amen. So there was a bit of racism going on even then, right? And so Jesus comes to Samaria, and he sees a well, and this is the well that Jacob had dug. It's a well that they came to. The word Sychar itself means drunken. It means that you can get filled up there. It means your thirst can get quenched there. And so here it was, Jesus comes to the well, and he sits on the well. But then here comes a woman. Now, you know, God does not do anything, and there is no coincidences in God. That, do you know that that is not a Hebrew word for coincidence? Everything that happens, God intends for it to happen. That's the way they believed. Amen. And so God had set up a meeting with this woman. Do you know that God sets up a meeting sometimes with us? He sets up a meeting just so he can have a conversation with us. Sometimes, you know, you plan to do something and your plans fail, and then all you do is sit in the house. Well, then you start to talk to God. Well, God set that up. He set up for your friends not to call you. He set up for people to forget about you. They didn't come to get you. Come on and say amen here. And so here it was, he set up a meeting with this woman, and as he sat on the well, he was blocking the progress. He was blocking what she was trying to do or what she wanted to do. And sometimes God will block the things that we would like to do so that he can get our attention. Oh, come on and say amen here. It's a whole lot of things that I would like to do, but because God is sitting on the well, he won't let me make the progress down that road because he intends to have a conversation with me to get me back on track. Do I have anybody here that said that I was just like the woman at the well? I was minding my own business, trying to do my usual thing, but Jesus sat on my well. Amen. I wish Jesus would sit on some of our wells this morning. I wish Jesus would sit on some of these politicians as well. I wish I had somebody this morning. We have to see here that Jesus sat on the well so that he can get the attention of the woman, because he could have he could have stood by and the woman went to the well and never said a word to him, because they in that day, unless you had some interest in the woman, you were not supposed to talk to them. You were not supposed to engage them unless they were related to you or some sort, you know. And you'll find out that's why the disciples, when they came back, they were astonished and shocked to find Jesus talking to this strange woman, because that just didn't happen. Amen. And you know, it's something how Jesus will talk to strange folks, folks that we don't think that he talked to. You know, I remember a preacher telling me a long time ago, God don't talk to no sinner. And I say, preacher, I beg to differ, because when I was sinking down deep in my sin, if it had not been for the Lord speaking to me, talking to me, I would have stayed doing what I was doing. Do you know I like to do what I was doing? And the Lord had to talk me out of all the mess that I was in. I wish I had somebody that wouldn't lie this morning and say that you didn't like all the stuff that you was doing before you met the Lord. All right. Amen. Well, anyway, this woman was she was there, and let's look at the conversation they had. They had a conversation about water. They begin to talk, and Jesus said that give me something to drink, and she said, you know, are you supposed to be this Jew, and you gonna ask me, a Samaritan, for something to drink? You don't even like me, so now you need me and you want something from me? And Jesus said that if you would have asked me, and if you would have known who it was asking you, you'd be glad to give drink. But if you would have asked me, I would have gave you some water that you would never have to worry about thirsting again. And the woman, now it piques her interest, and now she wanna know, what about this water? But then she said, she didn't call his name because she didn't know. She said, now how you gonna give me some water and you don't have anything to draw with? She thinks she's smarter than him. Amen. She thinks she got it going on here. Now, I got the bucket and I got the upper hand. Amen. But you never have the upper hand with God. And it says that while the disciples were gone, Jesus struck up this conversation. Now, she says in the conversation, she says that he said, we don't have no dealings with each other. Verse 10 said, and Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God, and notice that, he said, if you knew the gift of God, we never know where the gift of God lies. We got a gift on the inside of us, and you don't know who it is that God is going to send your way. That's why we ought to treat people as we would want them to treat us. That's why we ought to love our neighbors as ourselves. I wish I had somebody. He tells us to be kind to the stranger. Why? Because the Bible says that some of us have entertained angels unaware. Oh, come on and say amen. So be careful who you talk about. Be careful who you laugh at. Be careful who you oppose, because you never know who you are entertaining, and it could be your test and trial from God. So here it was. He says that in verse 11, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with. And he says, she said, I want some of this living water, but you have nothing to draw with. And she challenges him and she confronts him. And sometime in order for us to get a conversion, we have to have a confrontation. She says that, are you greater than my father Jacob, who gave us this land and this well? She said, he drank from it himself and his children and cattle. She said, are you greater than he is? And we need to know that Jesus is greater than your grandpa. Come on and say amen. He's greater than your, I know grandpa and grandma were good people, but God is greater than grandpa and grandma. And I'd rather do what God wants me to do than to do what grandpa and grandma said to me. I wish I had somebody. Now, they might have told you to do some good things, but did they tell you to do the God thing? Oh, come on and say amen. Some of us got bitterness in our heart toward others because that was in our family. We held grudges because grandma held a grudge. Grandma didn't like them Simpsons, and so we don't like them Simpsons either. Come on and say amen. Oh, Lord have mercy. Y'all acting like it. He says, whosoever drink of this water shall never thirst again, and whosoever drink of the water that I shall give them shall never thirst. And notice what he said. He said, if you drink the water you're drinking, the water that Jacob gave you, you'll always get thirsty again. But if you drink of this water, he said, you'll have a well springing up inside of you to everlasting life. And so we need to understand that there is a water that we should drink. Now, why was Jesus and this lady talking about water? Because that was, you know, that was the subject, talking about water. And then he talked about, you know, he dealt with her wickedness, and then he dealt with her about worship. Amen. And so the water actually means, the water is him talking about, you know, what is water? Water is what we need to live. Amen. Water, if you don't drink water, you will die. If you don't drink water, you will damage your cells. You will damage your body. Your kidneys will fail. You know, you will put yourself in some pain and danger in life if you do not drink water. But notice what else? Water is powerful. You need water to get out stains. You need water to purify stuff. You need water. I wish I had somebody here. You need water to be able to cook with. You need water for everything in your life. You need water to clean with. You need water prayer to be able to move some stuff off of your, like for instance, your car get dirty, it takes water to get it out, amen? So we need water, and God is saying that in order for you to get through life, I'm like water, you need me. You need me every hour. You need me every day. Do I have anybody that says, like, I need God like the ocean needs water or it will run dry? Do I have anybody here? I need God. Amen. I need him. He is the water of life. He is the refreshment that I need. He is what replenishes me. He is what gives me life. Amen. He gives me life. Amen. I know people like to drink this smart water, but there's a water that's greater than the smart water. Amen. And his name is Jesus Christ. So now he says, then the woman says, sir, she says, give me this water because I don't want to have to come draw water anymore. See, when we first come to God and have a conversation with him, we understand on a carnal level. She was not understanding spiritually that this water that he was talking about would not just quench a physical thirst, that as long as you're in the desert, you're going to get hot and you're going to need some water. But what he was trying to tell her is that your real thirst should be for God. Your real thirst should be for him. And I know that we got a lot of thirst, but the Bible says that if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, then you shall be what? Filled. And we have to look at what we're thirsting for. I'm thirsting for to worship God. I'm thirsting to get to know him. I'm thirsting just to be in his presence. Amen? And what you're thirsting for, whatever your thirst is, you'll do whatever you got to do to quench that thirst. Come on and say, man, if I need water, I'm going to buy some water. I'm going to drink some water. Uh-huh. Wherever I am, if you're trying to survive, you're going to get whatever it is you need. Amen? And so Jesus says, you know, go tell your husband to come here. Now, she had a conversation, but here we have confrontation. And she says that, you know, I really don't have no husband. And Jesus said that for thou hast five husbands, and he whom you have now is not your husband. He said, you didn't really lie to me. And what we have to understand is that this woman was a woman of ill repute. This woman was at the well at an hour that most women wouldn't go and draw water from the well. Why? Because of her embarrassment of what she had just did. Because Jesus said, and the one you with now. You got five. You had many men. You're promiscuous. You had many of them. But guess what? The one you with is not even your husband. And she was there to get water so that she could go back to the hut or to the house. Amen. And clean herself up. Amen. And get ready for the next husband. Y'all with me? So Jesus is talking to a woman of ill repute. Now, we judge religious folks, judge folks that don't do what they do. They don't realize Jesus wants to talk to them too. Amen. They don't realize that God is concerned about the folks out in the world also. For God so loved the world that he gave his what? Only begotten son. Now, if we put our nose up in the air at people who need this water, people who are thirsty, if we shake our head at those that really need God, then we are no good. We're no better than the person who's doing whatever they're doing. Amen. But it is our job to take them water, to clean them up, take them water, to quench their thirst. I wish I had somebody in here today. So he said, you spoke truly. And then this woman tells Jesus, she says, now I perceive you're a prophet. She said, I think that you're somebody that knows a little bit of something. What she didn't understand is that he was not just a prophet. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. She said, but look, I know you know a little something, but let me tell you what I know. Look at what she said in verse number 20. She said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that we ought to worship at Jerusalem. So this place is where men ought to worship. Now what we got to see here is that now she's getting into the place where Jesus wanted her to start talking. He wanted her to talk about worship because you can't stay wicked and worship at the same time. Lord have mercy. You can't keep your wickedness and worship God at the, I'm talking about true worship. I'm not talking about playing church. I'm not talking about playing with God. I'm talking about that you truly want to worship him in the beauty of holiness. Amen. And so she said, we worship on this mountain because the Jews had turned their nose at the Samaritans. The Samaritans made them a spot, and they built a temple to counter the temple that was built in Jerusalem so that they would have a place to worship too. Amen. And so when they had built their temple, they said that our fathers say that we ought to worship here because this place right here is better than Jerusalem, because, by the way, this is where Jacob met the Lord when he left Laban's house. This is where Joseph's bones lie. This is where, you know, she began to talk religion to him. And sometimes when you talk to people who really don't want to let go of their wickedness, they try to tell you why, and they often get into religion. When you tell them they need a greater relationship with God, they tell you, well, no, I'm this. I go to this type of church and not that type. Well, I just want to know one thing. Doesn't matter what type of church you go to, but do you believe what the Word of God says? Is that a Bible-believing church, or is that church caught up on religion to the point that that denomination comes before the Word of God, that that denomination comes before what God wants from you? I wish I had somebody here. Oh, yeah, we got so many churches today that they're so caught up in denomination and all this denominational stuff that does not amount to anything. Do you know that once we get to heaven and then come back from heaven to earth, there will be no Baptist section, there will be no Church of God in Christ section. There will be no Church of God section. There will be no white church and no black church, but the church will be the church, and the church will look like God, because the church is the body of Christ, and it's going to look just like Christ. Do we know that? And so she started talking religion. She started talking about my church is better than yours. You know how we do. We start talking about, you know, and they do it around here. Our church is the Holy Ghost headquarters. How, you know, why do the Holy Ghost need a headquarters? You know, you ain't got to go to him. He's always, if God is everywhere, why would he have one central place that the only place? See, that is not even theologically correct, not even theologically sound, to claim that you're the only place. Lord have mercy. Glory be to God. I'm not going to even get into that, because that vexed my spirit half the time. I talk to those people, I'll be like, Lord Jesus, let me deliver me. Give me a way of escape from this conversation. Amen. Well, so the woman goes on to talk about worship. And then Jesus said, woman, believe me. Verse 21, the hour coming. We're at the time now where neither in this mountain or at Jerusalem you'll worship the Father. And what Jesus was saying, that ain't no church going to be better than the other. He said, we're at an hour now, at a time where you don't have to be looking for a place to go worship, because the worship experience ought to happen on the inside of you. We ought to have an experience on the inside of us. The worship experience ought to happen. And what happens on the inside of me draws me to go connect with other people who is happening inside of too. So the reason I'm here today, the reason you're here, is because something happened on the inside of you that makes you want to connect with other folks that had the same type of experience. And we can get together, and where two or three are gathered in his name, he'll be in the midst, and we can finally have church. We can finally praise his name. We can finally celebrate him. That's why we gather together on this day. So he says, woman, he says, you won't worship at those places. And look at this. He said in verse 22, ye worship, ye know not what. In other words, you don't even know what you're worshiping. You don't even know who you're worshiping. You don't even understand how you're worshiping. So her perception was all wrong, and the place was all wrong. But he began to give her some principles about worship. First off, worship is not mortar and clay. It's not a building or a denomination. But worship is the thing that we do as a lifestyle that we have to God. I worship him in the beauty of holiness. My life is dedicated to him. I am, the Bible says in Romans 12, he said, I beseech you, brethren, that by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. He allows me to live, so therefore I worship him. And so I dedicate myself to him. Every word I speak, I'm speaking on behalf of him. All the things I do, I want to do it to glorify him. Oh, come on and say, man, I know we need our own time. I need to do some stuff for myself, but I need to do something for the Lord. And if I can do some things for God, he'll make sure that I have all the things that I need. I wish I had somebody today. He says in this word, he says that you don't know what you worship. He said, for salvation is of the Jews. In other words, he began to tell them, he says, salvation is of the Jews. In other words, salvation, he began to explain to her that salvation is easy. It's like sipping water, amen? All you got to do is drink it. He began to talk to her about the salvific experience. After he convinced her and showed her compassion, and he told her, and she began to confess, you know what you're talking about, but he began to talk to her about this worship. He made her cognizant of the